welcome to the 2 Degrees podcast. My name is Bosse Falk. I am the manager for the Energy Management Working Group on the 2 Degrees platform. Today we'll be discussing the idea of mandatory greenhouse gas reporting for large organisations, which at its simplest is the idea that businesses will be required to measure their carbon emissions and report these to a central repository. This idea, as well as the benefits of introducing such a scheme, isn't new, but to date the mandatory reporting schemes in most jurisdictions is tied to some sort of cap and trade scheme, such as the EU ETS or the CRC Energy Efficiency Scheme. However, last November, DEFRA produced a report looking at the ability of greenhouse gas reporting to contribute to the climate change objectives for the UK, which prompted a group of businesses to draft a letter to the government calling for the introduction of a mandatory reporting scheme in the UK. We notified the 2 Degrees audience of this initiative and received an overwhelming number of responses. And in order to capture some of the discussion that occurred, I spoke to a number of organisations who responded to us. I started off interviewing Colin Baines from the Co-op, who was one of the instigators of this initiative. So I've got with me Colin Baines from the Co-op. And Colin, I understand that early next week you're about to send out a letter to the UK government asking for a mandatory carbon reporting scheme. Could you just explain quickly what's in the letter and what are you trying to get out of this?
Sure. Well, the government has an obligation under the Climate Change Act to introduce mandatory greenhouse gas reporting by April 2012. Or if they don't do so, to explain to Parliament, you know, the rationale for not introducing it. We and quite a number of other businesses, organisations, NGOs have been campaigning for mandatory greenhouse gas reporting for a good few years now. I think we've been calling for it since 2006, and we've been reporting our own emissions since 2003. And we really see it as being the first baby step, really, to really addressing climate change. You know, there's the old management saying that you can't manage what you can't measure, and if very few businesses are measuring their emissions and publicly disclosing it, you know, we really don't even know what the situation is to be able to address it and to start to really address this great challenge that faces us.
Mm.
The letter itself is calling on the government to take the opportunity that's presented by an announcement it's due to make in towards the end of this month about the contribution that reporting of greenhouse gas emissions can make to the UK meeting its climate change obligations. It was supposed to do this by the 1st of December, but it's been put back to the new year. And we were just a bit worried, as were other organisations and businesses, that the likelihood of it being introduced in 2012 was slipping away. So what we've done is our first action in November was to take out a full-page advert in the Financial Times. It was an open letter to Caroline Spelman at DEFRA, the Secretary of State, calling for it to be introduced. And then, unfortunately, after that, they delayed the announcement. So we really want to put as much pressure on the government as we can over the next few weeks to just make it plain to the government that there's a great expectation that we'll introduce mandatory greenhouse gas reporting and what the benefits of introducing it would be in terms of, and this is included in the letter, so we sort of set out the limitations of voluntary reporting, the levels of take up to date, the benefit to investors, to improve that, you know, investor risk analysis information, really. So carbon risk can be factored into decisions much greater by investors. And this is a very popular initiative by investors because they want this information so they can make those judgments on what will be increasingly a business risk in future as more climate change legislation comes about and that type of thing. So more information out there, the better, as far as we're concerned, and many of the businesses that have signed the letter to date and that have been, you know, basically campaigning on this issue. So we've got around 150 business signatories to date. We're expecting more over the weekend and early next week. We've got some major NGOs going out campaigning on this as well. We've got WWF and Christian Aid. We've now got Oxfam and RSPB signing up and other NGOs expressing interest. And also some really major businesses. So we are hoping by sending this letter to the three secretaries of state at DEFRA, DEC and BIS that it will be frankly difficult for them to ignore, and we will hopefully get a commitment before the month's out that it will be introduced in 2012.
Brilliant. Okay. Yeah, no, that's I know for a fact there's been a lot of very good take and a lot of very interesting comments coming through. One of the things, one of the comments that we've had on this is people are asking, are you intending for this to replace some of the existing legislation, such as the carbon reduction commitment, or would this be a separate part of the puzzle?
I think it's complementary. CRC companies report to government, and then government then publishes a league table. So that reporting doesn't actually constitute mandatory public disclosure by the organisations themselves unless they choose to make the reports public. So the CRC is also narrower in its scope than the current DEFRA voluntary greenhouse gas reporting guidance for companies. This voluntary guidance was designed to be aligned with the CRC, but it's more comprehensive in a number of ways. So, for instance, it's global in its scope. CRC is just UK emissions. It would cover all six greenhouse gases and all emission sources. CRC is just energy use with a focus on purchased electricity, for instance. So with following the voluntary guidance and championing the mandatory reporting, we aim to follow the completeness principle and account for 100% of the emissions, so it will provide an overall picture for all the operations over which any business has control. So there's some fundamental differences there, but we think mandatory greenhouse gas reporting is complementary to CRC-related reporting. It is complementary to the ETS. And in fact, companies already reporting under the CRC and ETS should find that it's fairly easy just to make up the remaining emissions to be able to disclose their entire greenhouse gas emissions.
Right.
We're also saying, you know, currently we want scope 1 and 2 included within mandatory reporting, but eventually we want scope 3 once you know, the methodologies for scope 3 reported are more robust and standardised. And that way we really will have a complete picture.
Are you intending for them, I mean, this is obviously sort of up to the government to work out the details, but what about the public sector? Would they be included in this as well?
Well, under the Climate Change Act, I think it's referring to large businesses now, and that's what we're calling for in this letter as well to the government, that all large businesses should report on the carbon emissions. So that would apply to any organisation that falls within the Companies Act, under the definition of a large business. So that's looking at things like number of employees and turnover. So it may apply to some other sort of non-private or non-corporate companies or organisations. But hopefully we would get voluntary sign-up, as we have with this letter. You know, we've had councils and voluntary organisations say, yeah, we support this and we would do this ourselves. And, you know, that's the way we want to go, really.
Brilliant, yeah. Have you had any feedback from sort of outside of the business community in terms of what do sort of journalists or even the public think about this? Have you had any feedback on that?
Well, separately from this initiative, through 2 Degrees, we've been mobilising our own members and customers to put pressure on the government to introduce mandatory reporting. So we actually organised a tabling of an early day motion early in the year, and we've been mobilising our customers and members to contact their MP to sign that early day motion and to raise the issue with ministers. So there is sort of a public mobilisation aspect to what we're doing, and we've had a great response from that. Lots of members of the public getting in touch, and you know, wanting to do what they can. So some have been going off and having face-to-face meetings with the MPs and the like. So it's a broad spectrum of support, from your individual on the street through to your NGOs and your voluntary sector, through to SMEs and right up to some major international corporations. There's a real consensus, I think, that we need mandatory greenhouse gas reporting, and the voluntary approach hasn't really worked to date. And yeah, like I say, hopefully there's enough of a broad level of support, it will be difficult for governments to ignore with a bit of luck.
Absolutely. It's very exciting. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to me, Colin, and let's hope this letter has the intended effect.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Thank you. So as Colin's just mentioned, over 150 companies has signed this letter so far, and one of those companies is CA Technologies. And I've got with me their Chief Sustainability Officer, Cynthia Curtis. And Cynthia, why is mandatory greenhouse gas reporting important for you? Why? What prompted you to sign this letter?
Well, CA Technologies does already report voluntarily. We have for several years, and we also do fall under the requirement for the CRC. So that's part and parcel of what we are doing, and we believe that reporting, tracking and reporting is smart business, and that progress has been made, but we believe it needs to be taken a step further. The key point for me with reporting is consistent, credible data. Reporting can be very onerous. There are ways to minimize that, certainly with appropriate tools, but it can be onerous. And one of the reasons is because there are varying requirements from a variety of different sources. So, you know, I could spend all day doing reporting to meet, you know, different requirements for different organizations or different regulatory bodies. And that is just not productive. It's not a productive use of anybody's time. It's not a productive use of company resources. The other challenge is that, you know, it can't be a financial burden. And, you know, if reporting is mandatory and there's a broader scope of organizations that therefore are required to report, I believe it will accelerate simplification of reporting, consistency in data, and consistency in reporting requirements. And I believe it will also drive cost efficiencies, because people just can't, you know, not all organizations have the resources to apply to you know, it's something which is onerous, requires additional headcount or whatever. So it needs to be done in a cost-effective way. And if it's mandatory, I believe that will accelerate a drive to greater cost efficiencies, a drive to broader use of more effective tools.
Right, yeah. I mean, CA Technologies is obviously a large international organization. How would this impact, if something like this mandatory reporting came into effect in the UK, how would that affect the rest of your organization?
Well, for us, again, because we are an international company, I don't actually see it affecting us any differently than we operate today. We have requirements, again, with the CRC in the UK. We have been reporting as a global company now for several years. And so, you know, for us, I don't see it really having an impact. I do think that the more that this becomes the norm in one, you know, in multiple countries or whatever, again, there will be a drive to consistency of data collection and reporting requirements, and that's really what is important for us, because, you know, as I said, it can be very onerous, you know, meeting different reporting standards. You know, ultimately, if it's, again, seen as the norm, more countries, specifically the U.S., perhaps, may be inclined to take some action to enable consistency for businesses.
Right, yeah. Brilliant. Okay, well, that's some very good points. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
Pleasure.
We've now heard some comments on the benefits of introducing a mandatory reporting scheme. However, as always, the devil is in the details, so I spoke to Daryl Stickler from Cisco about some of the key considerations for implementing such a scheme.
So, Daryl, you're responsible for Cisco's voluntary reporting of greenhouse gas emissions to a number of your key stakeholders. What feedback have they given you on what specifically they like to see in your reporting?
Well, transparency is definitely the watchword when it comes to greenhouse gas reporting, all corporate reporting, actually. Cisco has worked pretty hard over the last 5 years or so developing greenhouse gas reporting processes that are thorough and where we understand the accuracy or quality of the numbers. We also try to reflect that hard-won knowledge in what we put out there in the public domain. So we're not only reporting our numbers, but we're adding to our stakeholders' collective understanding of the reporting process. After all, we're fundamentally tracking energy use, and energy is used in so many places, it can get pretty complicated. We want to report not only the top-level numbers, but also provide an extra layer of detail so our stakeholders share our understanding of the quality of the numbers. All of us at Cisco that are tasked with greenhouse gas reporting, we're pretty lucky to work in such an open culture. Cisco has many years past what I call the open kimono moment, where the whole organization sort of collectively decides to just put it all out there. Of course, what happens is that attitude towards transparency actually drives the process to be better, so it's a virtuous circle. Carbon Disclosure Project has ranked us as one of the top two information technology companies the last 3 years. And Greenpeace also recognizes Cisco's approach to reporting, ranking us number one in their Cool IT Challenge over the last two reporting cycles. And we consider both organizations to be top-notch, so we're pretty pleased with this recognition.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, when you look at this feedback that you got from the stakeholders, what are your thoughts on if the UK government or any government were to look at introducing a mandatory reporting scheme, what would you say are the key considerations that they should keep in mind to make the scheme workable?
Well, that's a pretty complicated question. Certainly the devil's in the details. Let me try to see what I can come up with here. At the top, I think you first have to understand and communicate why you're pursuing this type of mandatory reporting policy. It shouldn't be positioned as a first step to regulation, you know, the big hammer. But I think it's more an effort to let the free markets function with maximum information. And here's that word again, transparency. It's our experience that if an organization or an individual, for that matter, understands their energy usage, there's a natural progression of steps that result in trying to reduce those emissions. But so let's talk about companies for just a moment. I think some key steps are first, get people to report. That first step for a first-time reporter to actually put themselves out there is tough. So we want to make sure that we balance wanting good information with not making the barrier to entry so high that, you know, people don't or can't or it's too expensive to report. In addition, report the Carbon Disclosure Project. We're a big fan of the organization. I can't stress too much the importance of having a single global repository for greenhouse gas emissions because, after all, climate change is a global problem. So this is my commercial for all government entities to partner with CDP and leverage their process. They've been at it for going on 10 years, so they've obviously learned a lot about how to do this. And the additional resources from government participation will certainly help CDP solidify and promote the reporting practices. So after your report, then get your reporting public. I mean, there is the ability in CDP to report privately, but public is really important. Sometimes it takes a year, maybe two, but hopefully no more than 1 year. for a company to get their reporting processes anywhere near good enough to make public release useful. And then after you report publicly, figure out some way that third-party review can be factored in, because public reporting without some sort of review isn't as useful. And I'm not using the word verification purposely, because that word might pull some triggers that greatly increase cost. And again, we have to have a good balance between getting broader reporting and managing the barriers to entry. But you got to get somebody to look at what you're doing. And then in our experience, a reduction goal, or at least an efficiency goal, is a natural consequence of public reporting. It's really hard for a company to put less than stellar numbers out in the public domain without eventually doing something about it. And then, of course, the transparency also permits all the company stakeholders, especially customers, to understand who they're buying from, and that, of course, is the free market at work. And academics and environmental advocacy groups, of course, can use this public information, and that provides additional visibility. And then lastly, we find that once companies are reporting, they can actually be agents for change, because every company has lots of relationships with other companies, and they can encourage and promote reporting from their business partners as well. So in the big picture, a mandatory reporting scheme just kind of accelerates step one, getting people to report. And then after that, I think we'll see good action.
Brilliant. Excellent. That's a very interesting point. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
All right.
Hopefully these interviews have now given you an idea of the thinking behind the support for mandatory reporting. However, these interviews are just a fraction of the comments which we received, so be sure to check out the 2Degrees platform in the very near future for a follow-up forum discussion where you will also be invited to share your thoughts on the matter. Thank you for listening.
Ben Carmichael here. Just wanted to remind all of you listeners to visit us at 2degreesnetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at 2degreesnetwork.